Well, we've been really emphasizing this whole series that we're doing about the identity of who you are, who you really are, and not who you think you are. Most of us walk around believing the lies that we've received about who we think we are rather than what the Word says we are and rather than what we know that we are through our salvation and through Jesus Christ. I heard a sentence last year that really stuck in my mind, and the person who said it said that your identity impacts your destiny. And that's why we really are emphasizing so much the importance of who you really are. Your identity is going to impact your destiny either in a positive way, if you feel good about yourself, if you know who you really are as a son or a daughter, and what that means, or if you have some negative identity about yourself that causes or hinders you from fulfilling the plan or fulfilling what God's called you to do, or walking into the fullness of your inheritance even. It's your identity is going to impact where you go in the future. Now, I talked about the last week about a couple of the hindrances to being able to see our true identity, and that orphan heart that we end up accepting and end up living as because of the wounds, because of the things that happen to us as kids growing up. The way our parents treated us, the way our peers treated us at school, the way teachers treated us, all the different ways that we may have gotten hurt. And I realized after that we were over, I didn't really talk about the wounds that come to us, the things that didn't happen, that should have happened. And we should have been treated like kids. We should have been allowed to be children. Some of us never had an opportunity to be kids. We grew up too fast. We were put in responsibility of our siblings. We were given responsibility at home because both parents worked. We did things that adults normally do, and we never got to be a kid. We never got to have fun being a child, or we never got to be loved by a loving father or a loving mother. We may have missed out on that because the father may not have been around. It may not have been there. There's a lot of wounds that we can receive that aren't really the biggie, what we call the type B wounds of the fathers that are abusive and the other terrible things that can happen to you. It's just sometimes it's what you should have gotten growing up, but you didn't. And so we put on this orphan heart because of all that hurt. Well, tonight I want to move on into another area that is related to that wounding that took place maybe in our childhood, but it goes into some more specific areas of that. And those are rejection, anger, and fear. These are some of the responses to the wounding, but they can become part of our false identity. They can become part of the mechanism that we use to control our environment, the ways that we prevent other people from knowing who we really are, because we're afraid if they really knew who I was, they would reject me. They wouldn't like me. They wouldn't love me. They wouldn't be my friend. They wouldn't be able to accept who I am. And that was what Sue was talking about. We are accepted in the Beloved. First of all, we have to accept ourselves and love ourselves, and we can because we know that the Father loves us. And we know that Jesus died for us, and He took all the bad stuff away. He took all the sin, all the junk, all the stuff that we were dragging around and took it on the cross with Him. And so we can accept ourselves regardless of what we've did in the past. The Father loves us just the way we are. The Father loves us regardless of what we have done or what we have not done, or regardless of anything that we have and been involved in. And so we have to love ourselves and accept ourselves. And the biggest area that we struggle with, I think everybody to some degree gets impacted through rejection. And because of that, we have some responses that we make. And one of those is just to run away, to run and hide, to cover up the feelings of rejection that we received growing up. And when I was putting this together, I remembered Heidi Baker and a message that she shared that we got a chance to watch last year, and maybe it was 2 years ago. And she was worshiping before she started to speak, and the Lord gave her a vision of a rodeo. And it was during the, it was the time when they were doing the calf roping, how they ride out with the calf running in front of them, and they lasso them and flip them off their feet and tie their legs to, for a time thing. Only what she saw was the Father, God, was on the horse, and there were people running out of the stall. And he was galloping on his horse after them with his lasso, lassoing them and jerking them off their feet and getting down off his horse and running over and pinning them to the ground. And he was looking into their face and said, "Would you be still and let me love you?" And then he said, "Look into my face. I love you." And then he put his head on their forehead and said, "You are mine." And that image of that Father running after us, whether he's riding on a horse or whether he's running down the path like the prodigal son who was coming home and his father was running towards him, running after him. That's the image of a father that we, a loving, forgiving, caring father that we all need to have, that he wants to pin us to the ground and tell us, you know, wants us to hold still so he can love us. And I don't know whether we've shared that yet or not, but I think Sue talked a little about being busy bee. We're zipping around all over trying to do all these good things. Sometimes we're so busy in the church being just busy that we miss the love of the Father. We miss the reality that, hey, we're his son and we're a daughter and he loves us and we can accept and receive that love. One of the areas that we deal with is this fear, and the opposite of love is fear. So if we're not able to receive the Father's love, well, chances are we're going to be walking in fear in some area or some way in our lives. And that comes out and manifests itself in our lives, in our behavior. Some of us respond in anger and rage. Rage is just anger out of control. Or we might respond in rejection or withdrawal. That's what I did. I felt and perceived rejection and I withdrew. I pulled away from everything else. Or we blame shift. We blame somebody else. We get into fear just like Adam did, and he blamed Eve for everything that took place. Or we hide, or we become rebellious or independent. There are all a lot of different ways that we begin to respond to this fear and the hurt and the pain in our lives. In the garden, originally, when everything was really great and running smoothly, you know, Adam and Eve, when the Father came, said, "Oh boy, Dad's here again, you know, here comes Father." But when, after the fall, after they had hid themselves, when the Father came, he said, "Oh no, it's the Father coming again." And I think a lot of us are in that second place, but, "Oh no, I don't want to get close to the Father. I'm going to have to hide. I'm going to have to separate myself from him because I don't want him to find out what I've done in the past. I don't feel good about myself. I don't love myself." But we gotta open our heart up and begin to receive love. That the whole focus besides our identity is the fact that we have a loving Father and we can receive his love. And when we receive his love, then we have love to give away. But out of the fear of what we think the Father might think about us, and we just, like Adam and Eve, we sow the fig leaves on, we find the false imposter to hide behind. We go try to go to some remote place and hide ourselves so that the Father can't find us. And yet, the Bible says that he's going to look for us and find us wherever we are. Now, I heard Norval Hayes one time say that you could go to the furthest desert in the middle of Africa and hide behind the only bush out there, and you're going to see Heavenly Father standing there saying, "What are you doing here?" He's going to find you. He's going to know where you are. You can't hide from the Father. You might as well give in and let the Father love you. When we pull away and hide like that, it makes it difficult to hear the Father's voice. We can't know His heart. We aren't able to experience His power. You know, and once you become a Christian and you start hearing about all these people walking in the anointing and the power of gifts and all the things that Christians can experience, you don't only want to get over there and get over into it, but we have to be connected. We have to be loved, and we have to have that sonship and being a daughter before we're going to be able to experience any of that in our lives. I couldn't hear the Father's voice, so I withdrew from my earthly father, and when you do that, you disconnect from your heavenly Father. And I when I look back on my teenage years and early 20s and stuff, even after I got saved, I never was able or understood how to hear the Father's voice. Scriptures were really dry and unimpressive to me. I would go to listen to great messages and things, and they wouldn't affect my spirit at all because I was in this shell. I was in this self-imposed prison around myself, preventing myself from being able to experience anything, because I was too afraid of what might happen if I stepped out of the prison and went out into the world. I know John Eldridge talks about it in his Brave at Heart, I think is the title of it. Wild at Heart. And he talks about this fenced-in area that we tend to build this fence around ourselves, and the reality is the gates to the fence are open, but we don't venture out, we don't go beyond the edge of the gates for fear of what we might experience. And a lot of it is because of this rejection that we receive from a variety of different sources. I was just thinking about when I was standing over there and Sue was speaking of a couple more ideas about, besides the ones that are in your lesson, of how we can be rejected. And sometimes it's, and I think there's a lot of, the most prevalent father type that we have is the passive fathers. That seems to be the one that we hear about a lot, and that's what I had as a father. And a passive father is one that's not engaged in your life, that he might be there, he might have some interaction with you, but it's very minimal, and there's no expressed love. There's no ability to just relax and enjoy the fellowship and friendship and have fun and things like that. He's just kind of passive in everywhere that way. And that is a form of, we take it as a form of rejection. We begin to wonder, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't he want to be involved in my life? Why doesn't he want to spend any time with me? And that can communicate rejection to us. And another one is the absent father. And he doesn't have to be physically absent, although probably the strongest form of rejection is the father who isn't there. He's not there because of death, possibly. He's not there because of divorce. He's not there because he works all the time. I had a father that had two jobs, and when he wasn't doing those jobs, he was at home fixing something or working in the garden or doing something else that he never really had any time for me. And so we can live in the same house, just like the ballad that I read to you last week about the greatest father I never knew. We can be in the house with our father and never really know him. We have a question when we minister to people that we ask them to fill out about their fathers. And the question, so there's a couple questions, and we ask them, You know, what was your father's goal in life? What was your father's desires? What was the, you know, what were things that he enjoyed doing? And most often we get the responses, I don't know. I never knew anything about my father. And what was your parents, you know, ask your father, you know, what was my grandparents like when you were growing up? And that question usually is answered, I didn't know. Nobody ever told me about anything about their life as when they were growing up as a kid. The the things that really mattered, the things that we needed to interact with our parents and especially our fathers never happened when we were growing up. And I think a lot of that was because it was so painful to them that they really didn't want to share it with us, or it was they felt it was unimportant, or they were ashamed, or whatever, for whatever reasons, they really never opened up on a level of communication any more than news, weather, and sports. No more than the surface level conversations. Most of us become news, weather, and sports people. That is all we ever talk about. We don't talk about our heart. We don't talk about what's in our heart. I think if we had asked a question on our questionnaire of what was in your father's heart, I think that one would probably never, most of us would say, I don't know, I never really knew the man enough to really say what was on his heart or what really mattered to him, what was really important to him, because he never really shared it or opened it up. Those are all forms of rejection. Those all hurt. And as we're growing up especially, that's when the pain is, we're unable to deal with it. We don't know what to do with it, so we just usually stuff it inside, and that rejection just keeps building. And then we go to school, and like Sue was saying, the peer pressure and the things that happen at school, if we weren't the good in the good graces with everybody, we usually got rejected by somebody, or maybe by most of the people. And the bullies, people who put other people down to try and lift themselves up because they don't feel good about themselves to begin with, that's all rejection. That all comes out as hurt and pain and rejection to us. So it doesn't have to be necessarily just abusive situations, although those can be really powerful places of rejection as well, but there's a variety of ways that we can be rejected. And sometimes when we're ministering to the people, we find out through the Holy Spirit revealing it that they were rejected in their parents' womb, in their mother's womb, that even before they were born they were experiencing rejection. Some of them because they were wanted the opposite sex of what they were. And when you're inside and you know you're a little girl and your parents are hoping for a boy or believing for a boy, and you come into the world, you already have received some tremendous rejection. If the situations about where you were conceived were not the most positive, you might be feeling rejection before you even are born. There's sometimes that this rejection gets started in our lives even before we're come into this world, and that even just makes it more difficult to walk through life, because chances are if you were rejected before you were born, there's going to be some rejection from your parents just afterwards adjusting to all that. I think Sue shared with you about her situation. They were hoping and believing for a boy when she was born. Her dad, after the doctor came out and said, you got a little girl, and he says, are you sure? he was sort of convinced that she was going to be a boy all until the birth. But you know, the rejection causes us to believe that there's something wrong with us. And there's another area, and it's called perceived rejection. There's the outright rejections that I've been talking about. But we can perceive rejection even though there was no intention from the other person of that happening. A passive father doesn't want, you know, is not really rejecting you. They might love you, they might, you know, feel, have good feelings towards you, but they don't interact with you. So the nonverbal communications, we call them relational messages that we receive from other people, that we think, because the enemy, the devil, puts this thought in our mind that they don't love you, they don't like you, that there's something wrong with you, and it's just purely perceived. There was no intention on the person at all, and yet we think that in our hearts. Time when you were supposed to be picked up at school, and your father was supposed to come at a certain time, and he didn't show up. Well, he may have gotten stuck in traffic. He may have gotten an emergency phone call. There's a lot of good reasons why he may not have been there, but you sitting on that sidewalk waiting for him to come and he's not coming, that's rejection. Why isn't he here? Why isn't he doing anything? And if you had to walk home in the dark, you know, we've had people that there's all different ways that we can receive that rejection, even though there was no intended, even though there was no reason, and physical reason, for you to feel or be rejected by that other person. We think so, and there's lies, and whatever we think is real to us. And so if you think that other person is rejecting you for whatever reason, that's reality to you, and that can really hurt. So we can end up beginning to even hate ourselves. And this self-rejection and self-hatred, that was something that I really dealt with a lot in my life. You feel unlovable, you are ashamed, you feel guilt. There's these feelings of being unworthy. It's difficult to believe that the Father can love me if I've done all these wrong things or made all these mistakes in my life, and we don't feel secure. Sue talked about one of the identities we need to have is being secure in His love, being secure in His protection for us. But the self-hatred can drive us away, and we can be just like that person running out of the stall in the rodeo, and the Father's chasing after us, saying, "Hold still, wait, let me tell you, I want to tell you, I love you." And the other place that we can feel that rejection is that if we had fathers who did reject us, then we might feel that the Heavenly Father is going to reject us too, or He's going to judge us, or He's going to stand up there. And that can come from religion too. It might not just be a personal experience at home, but there's a lot of religion talk out there that's law and not grace. It's the law and not love. And it is the, oh holy God and oh sinful me. And it's the sin consciousness that the religion tries to drive into us, rather than what Sue was talking about, our righteousness consciousness. We have a choice all the time to make. Are we going to walk down the path of being conscious and aware of all of our sins and all of our mistakes and all the problems and hate ourselves? Or are we going to be aware of the fact that the Father loves us, the cross provides the forgiveness of our sins, and we can walk in righteousness? We can walk in His love. We don't have to walk in the law and be conscious of the sin, because Jesus took care of it all on the cross. There isn't a sin that we'll ever commit for the rest of our lives that isn't already covered on the cross. So immediately, the moment you realize that you sin, the reality is that Jesus forgave you right then. He just took it on the cross along with every other sin you've ever had. You don't have to be on this roller coaster ride of, oh my, I'm in sin, I gotta repent, I gotta do it right, I gotta get out of it, and then come up, and then I'm righteous again, and then I'm in sin again, and then I'm righteous again, and then I'm in sin again. That is the law and grace trying to be mixed together.
Amen.
And we need to get over on the fact that grace and love and the cross took care of all that. And we can walk in that righteousness, that rightness that Sue's talking about in our identity. So the opposite of rejection is acceptance, and that's what Sue talked about. You know, Ephesians 1:6 is a really neat verse. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are His Beloved, and we are accepted. And one of the interpretations of accepted is highly favored. He not only loves us, but He highly favors us. And He says, even in our weakness, we're strong. And we don't have to be strong in ourselves, but through Christ Jesus, I can do these things. Through Christ Jesus, I am righteous. Through Christ Jesus, I am loved. It's all because of what Jesus did on the cross that we can walk free from this fear and these feelings of rejection. And just as Sue said in John 17:23, He loves us as much as He loves Jesus. So, you are His beloved son. You are His beloved daughter, in whom He is well pleased. You can put your name in there and say, I am the Father's beloved son, just like Sue said about John, saying that he was the son that Jesus loved. We're the son that the Father loves. And He loves us as much as He loves Jesus. That's just, every time I think about that, it's just awesome. And some of when I started walking out of this, condemnation and this self-hatred and this sin consciousness and getting rid of all that, and this fear of what other people thought, and this fear of rejection, the thing that really helped me, besides just focusing on being a son and having a loving father who loved me just the way I was, is that I had a sentence that I would say, and it helped me get past a lot of false responsibility, false guilt, false shame. I said, and I still do say it, it doesn't matter what somebody says, or it doesn't matter what somebody thinks, I'm loved by the Father. The thing that matters in your life is that you're a son, and you're loved by Him. And regardless of what anybody else says, regardless of what anybody else does, it doesn't matter because you're loved. If they don't like you, then they're saying that they don't like the Father who created you. Just like Sue said, they're not looking at you, they're looking at the Father in you. So the other two areas are anger and fear, and we're basically out of time to get into those very much, but now, anger is a secondary emotion to fear. If you're getting angry and upset, what you need to ask yourself is why? Why am I angry? What is it that is causing this anger? And a lot of times it can be traced back to this fear of rejection. There's fear involved somewhere in that anger. And you need to find out and ask the Holy Spirit, what are the buttons? What are the things that are ticking you off, that are giving you this anger response, this rage response, and ask the Holy Spirit to say, what is it that's related or tied to this that I need to deal with? And most of us try to repress the anger, and that's dangerous, because sooner or later it's going to come out, and it usually comes out in an explosive way. Once you start repressing the anger, we get sensitized to even small triggers. Small things can tick us off and cause us to go into this rage and explosiveness of anger coming out of us. Or you know, some of the symptoms can be procrastination, habitual lateness, sarcasm, sighing, frightening dreams, difficulty in sleeping, boredom, drowsiness, clenched jaws or grinding teeth at night, chronic stiff sore necks, depressions, stomach ulcers. All those things are just brought on by this repressed anger, the things that are We just pull inside of ourselves instead of dealing with it. But what you got to do is deal with the anger. You got to recognize that you have it, accept the fact that that's an emotion that you are expressing, and then find out the root of that and begin to walk through the forgiveness like we did last year with your, or last week with your parents, of taking them to the cross and releasing that anger, releasing that pain or hurt that's really underneath all that anger that's coming out. And fear is the other powerful force that can affect our identity and cause us to be something other or something less than who the Father wants us to be as His sons and daughters. And fear is just a recognition of an absence of love. If you're fearful about anything, whether it's getting up and talking before somebody else, or whether it's doing something or trying something, taking risk, trying some new area, or fear of heights, fear of darkness, fear of being alone, whatever the fear is, it's just a symptom of a lack of love, because perfect love will cast out the fear. So as we get more free and more identifying with being sons and daughters and receiving the Father's love, I've found that in my own life, a lot of the fears are gone. And I'm doing things now that I would have never even thought of doing, because I just was full of fear. I was all kinds of different fears in my life, and it was because I really never got much love growing up, and I didn't know how to receive the Father's love, and all these things that we're going to be talking about these 6 weeks were hindering me and stopping me from being able to receive the Father's love. And fear is one of those things that will really cut off that source of His love. And it affects every part of our lives. We start making bad choices, or we don't fulfill the plan or do the things that God has put in our heart to do. We compromise, we destroy relationships, and it even can affect our physical bodies. There's a lot of symptoms on our bodies that are a result of the fear that is in our lives, and the stress and the anxiety and the worry that comes from all that fear. And it hinders our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's difficult to hear His voice, and we can fear God, or fear with pulling away from God just out of fear, or fear of Him finding out what we've done, fear of His judgment, fear of how He's going to react to us, fear of rejection from the Father. There's a lot of things that the fear will cause us to separate ourselves from the Father. It's another reason why we run out of the stall and the Father has to chase and run us down and pin us to the ground in order to get our attention. So to turn this all around, it's this walking in this love. And it's what I've experienced these last 10 years of gradually letting go of all these things that have hindered me from receiving His love and allowing the Father to love me. You know, just like Sue said, we have to be loved. We have to be the lover here and receive the love. It's important for us to not be running around, but letting the Father love us, and hopefully He doesn't have to tackle us and pin us to the ground in order to love us. Well, you were going to say something.
I already did.
Oh, okay. We want to move into a time of ministry and allow the Father to begin to remove anything in your life that may be hindering you in these areas that we talked about tonight, of rejection, anger, or fear. We're going to use the same concept that we did last week. We thought about making hearts this week, but really these can be like fig leaves. We can cause that. These can cause us to cover up something in our lives that needs to be dealt with. And what I want you to take some time just allowing the Holy Spirit to talk to you and show you, is there some area where you were rejected and it really hurt? I'd like to like you to focus on maybe the most painful memory of rejection that was in either in your childhood, or maybe it was when you were a teenager, or maybe even as an adult. There's a lot of ways and places that we can be rejected, and they all hurt. And if that's still a painful memory, if you've been able to deal with it through forgiveness and letting go of that person and taking that pain to the cross, and it's no longer painful, I want you to go to some place where the Holy Spirit can take you that maybe you have even forgotten about, that you were rejected or hurt. And it probably will be when you're a little boy or little girl growing up, and the ones that we have a tendency to forget about, that really was a hurtful memory, and it still brings a little pain to your heart when you think about it, that we want to deal with tonight. So the Holy Spirit shows you that, then I want you to kind of write down a little description of what that was or who that was, and we will walk through forgiving and taking that all to the cross.
Yeah, I'll add that the Lord was just sharing with me as I was sitting over there, and he said, ask them to consider looking at their heart and saying, is there some place where they have a tendency to hold people at arm's length, to have a defensive line out there where you don't let somebody get too close? That sometimes is where there's been a hurt that you just don't want to have anybody get too close to your heart. And so it may be something that, you know, it's not necessarily something that's here, but it's your response to other people. It's the way you keep people at a distance. That may be where there's something in your heart that you've forgotten. So I just feel led to just offer up a short prayer we're going to give you a little more time tonight than we did last week. We felt like we rushed you a little bit trying to make it to 8:30, but tonight we want to give you some time. We're going to give you at least 10 minutes just to sit and be quiet and let the Holy Spirit minister to you, and then we'll lead you in some prayer. But Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just ask you to reveal and show each person what part you desire to deal with in their heart, in their lives, whether it's rejection, fear, anger, or something else. Lord, we just pray right now that you would come by your Spirit and you would sovereignly undo the knots, reveal the things, the closed doors that, Father, we just believe that each one of them will give permission for you to do the work in their heart that only you can do. But I thank you that they feel safe and secure at this place, at this time, to let you deal with the issues in their heart. And so, Father, we thank you for removing the things that don't belong so that you can pour in more love. Thank you, Father.
Okay, what I'd like for you to do is to now to allow the Holy Spirit to keep you in that place where you, whatever age you were, because it's really important to overemphasize the significance of the forgiveness being at whatever age you were when it happened, when something happened to you that would have communicated rejection to you. And allow that little boy, that little girl, or that teenager, or an adult to do the forgiving, to look another person in the face, or and to forgive them, and to release them from that debt that they created that they can never repay you. So I just want to walk you through a little prayer now. You can just pray it kind of, if you want to pray it aloud or under your breath, but just pray together. Father, I just come to you as your child, as your son or your daughter. And I just lay this memory before you. I felt like a rejection. And it hurt. And Father, I choose to forgive. I want you to look at that person that brought this pain or this rejection to you. I want you to look them in the face and say, I forgive you. Forgive you for the way you hurt me. For the rejection I felt from you. I know you probably were hurting yourself. Weren't able to avoid it. But it still hurt. And I release you. And I let you go from that debt. And I give you to Jesus. And now I just want you to pull all that pain out of your heart. Just pull all that memory, all the negative feelings and emotions, the feelings of rejection that came as a result connected to this. And Jesus, I just take these feelings and emotions and memories and give them to you. They're no longer a part of me. They no longer hurt me. They bring pain to me when I, my memory. I'm free from that.
I'm free from that.
And their effects on my life.
And
Now, I want you to see yourself walking around the other side of the cross and seeing this person through the cross and the finished work. Jesus forgave them and took that on himself on the cross. And you can reach out and love to them now. Now you are free from the past hurt and rejection. And just allow yourself to go to that memory and see if, what else you might see there. What else might have been going on that you may not have been aware of. Maybe the Father will give you some
truth
of how much He loves you, even in the midst of that. So Father, you come into this area, each one of these people's lives that are here tonight, and you just fill that void, fill that loss with your love. They would experience your love now. Receive your love and receive your comfort, and that you would just take any of that residual pain or feelings and just draw it out of them and then replace it with your love. And see yourself in His arms. He is holding you, comforting you.
My beloved,
so now you can take that and tear it up and get rid of it. It's not a part of you.
I think we got everybody's. So now what we'd like to do for you is play a clip that says, by Graham Cook, that says, seeing how Father sees you.
Has the capacity to see.
So sit back and listen to who He says you are.
When your heart is engaged with mine, your view of life and circumstances can rise above your situations. The kingdom is filled with my vision and my perception. To become the beloved, you must see yourself as I see you. You are the beloved because of who I am, not because of what you see about yourself. It is my perception of you that must occupy your affection. My appraisal of you that must gladden your heart. You are accepted in the beloved Son. Therefore, you are my beloved child. Rest in my acceptance of you and my affection for you. My beloved has my fullest attention. All the intention of my heart is joyfully lavished upon you. I have a huge heart of affection towards you. My love never ceases and never fails towards you. My love is not based upon your performance as the beloved. It is based on the sacrifice of my beloved Son. He alone is the propitiation for your sin and your restoration. I place you in Him, so that all the love I have for Him may now rest joyfully in you. I completely understand every struggle that you have and every weakness that you fear about yourself. In my great love for you, I have set aside a place in my beloved for you to enjoy and know my fullest affection. Again, let me say to you, rest in my love. I love you as I love Jesus. Abide in this place of my deepest affection. When I look at you, I do not see anything wrong or negative about you. I took everything that could ever be leveled against you, every sin, accusation, and even the smallest amount of sin, and I placed it on Christ and nailed it to a tree. I have dealt with sin once and for all in this world. The next time I deal with sin will be on Judgment Day, after the world has ended. Until then, I am dealing with your righteousness in Christ. I have placed you in Him so that His purity and holiness can now become you as you learn to live in Him. He is my beloved Son. Now that you are in Him and He is in you, you also are the beloved. Therefore, when I look at you, I see Him first. I see you through the lens of Jesus. By my doing, you are in Christ, the beloved of heaven. He is made your wisdom and your righteousness. In Him you are set apart and consecrated. You are fully redeemed and learning to walk in the fullness of all that Christ is in you. When I look at you, I do not see what is wrong with you. I see what is missing from your experience of the Christ. I am fully committed to you becoming the beloved. That means I am always upgrading your experience in relationship with Jesus. You are growing up into all things in Him with my blessing and approval. In Christ, I give you all the things that you lack in yourself. As the beloved, you inherit all that He is and all that He can do.
I hope you were blessed by that. I certainly was. That I want to close with is just speak a Father's blessing over all of you. Every child wants to have his Father's blessing, and it's an important part of our lives is to receive blessings from the Father. I just want to speak one over each one of you. So I just bless each one of you. I just bless you with a greater revelation of His love for you. I bless you with the revelation of being His son or His daughter. I bless you with the good of life, the goodness that the Father has for you. I bless you with the health that the Father wants you to have in your bodies, in your physical bodies. I bless you with peace, the Jehovah Shalom peace of God that rests upon each one of you. I bless you with the greater revelation of the finished work of the cross and what it has done in your lives to bring you freedom. I bless you with freedom from the past, that the blood of Jesus cuts off all of the past from you, that you have a glorious future, a positive future coming into your direction, and the Father loves you, and I bless you as His beloved son and His beloved daughter to walk in that newness of being in His house, being in His arms, sitting on His lap, feeling His love, experiencing His love, experiencing His presence all day long and even as you sleep at night. I bless you with the awareness of the presence of the Father in your life on a continual basis. Amen.
Well, I know for